Literatur kann ihre Intelligenz fördern und ist gefährlich für ihre Fantasie.
Und damit herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Ausgabe des Podcasts Literaturcafé.de. Am Mikrofon Wolfgang Tischer, und diese Folge steht ganz im Zeichen des Gastlandes der Frankfurter Buchmesse 2020, Kanada. Ich habe ein Interview geführt mit der wunderbaren kanadischen Autorin Jocelyne Saussier aus Quebec, und das gibt es heute zu hören. Ja, in diesem Jahr ist ja einiges anders, 2020, und die Buchmesse findet zwar statt, aber auch nur virtuell, nicht in Form vor Ort und nicht in Form auch der großen Gastlandpräsentation. Jedes Jahr ist ja ein anderes Land Guest of Honor der Frankfurter Buchmesse, große Präsentation im Pavillon der Messe, das entfällt auch leider alles in diesem Jahr. Und somit wird sich Kanada nicht vor Ort präsentieren, sondern auch nur virtuell in Form von Filmen. Dazu gibt's Links auch auf literaturcafé.de. Es ist aber so, wir hoffen ja alle im nächsten Jahr 2021, dass wieder ein regulärer Messebetrieb stattfinden kann in Frankfurt und dass sich dann Kanada mit seiner vielfältigen Kultur der indigenen Völker der First Nations und natürlich der englischen und französischsprachigen Literatur aus diesem Land dann präsentieren kann vor Ort. Das ist also alles ein bisschen verschoben. Wenn man so will, dann ist Kanada zweimal zu Gast, in diesem Jahr virtuell und hoffentlich im nächsten Jahr dann eben mit einer großen Präsentation. Und dann kommen natürlich hoffentlich und können die ganzen Autorinnen und Autoren aus Kanada hier zu uns kommen, nach Deutschland und nach Frankfurt, und ihre Bücher präsentieren. In diesem Jahr ist es nicht möglich, und deswegen freue ich mich umso mehr, dass ich mich mit der kanadischen Autorin Jocelyne Saussier unterhalten konnte, telefonisch. Jocelyne Saussier ist bekannt geworden hier in Deutschland durch ihr erstes Buch, das auf Deutsch übersetzt wurde. Es war nicht ihr erstes Buch, aber ihr erstes Buch auf Deutsch. 2015 erschienen, Ein Leben mehr. Im Surkamp Verlag, der Originaltitel lautet Il pleuvait des oiseaux, es regnete Vögel. Also ein fast schon sehr dramatischer Titel, der auch in diesem Buch aufgelöst wird, warum es buchstäblich Vögel regnete. Jocelyne Saussier hat zwei Dinge, über die ich gleich mit ihr sprechen werde. Das ist für mich so charakteristisch, sowohl bei ihrem Roman Ein Leben mehr, der übersetzt wurde von Sonja Fink, als auch in ihrem aktuellen neuen Roman, der jetzt zeitgleich in Kanada und in Deutschland erschienen ist. Hier heißt er auf Deutsch Was dir bleibt, im Französischen à train perdu, also in Zügen verloren, wenn man so will. Also ein bisschen, ich finde, die französischen Titel sind irgendwie sprechender, dramatischer, besser als die deutschen. Aber so ist das nun mal, je nach Markt ändert man den Titel. Auch hier wieder übersetzt von Sonja Fink und Frank Weigand, auch dieser Titel bei Surkamp erschienen. Und wie gesagt, in beiden Titeln ist ihre Spezialität, wenn man so will, und ihr Markenzeichen, dass sie zum einen historische Dinge aus Kanada einfließen lässt, Dinge, die teilweise auch den Kanadiern gar nicht mehr so präsent sind. Das war bei Ein Leben mehr, waren es die großen Brände im Norden, große Rodungsbrände, die teilweise außer Kontrolle gerieten. Und jetzt im neuesten Buch sind es unter anderem die sogenannten School Trains. Tatsächlich fahrende, in Eisenbahnwaggons untergebrachte Schulen, die in den Norden, in die entlegenen Gebiete Kanadas fuhren, um dort den Kindern eine schulische Bildung zu ermöglichen. Die gab es wohl bis 1967 in Kanada, fuhren diese School Trains durch die Lande. Also diese Waggons wurden dann immer ein paar Tage abgestellt und die Kinder gingen dort jeweils zur Schule. Und das wird uns jetzt Jocelyne Saussier auch erzählen. Und das Zweite, was sie in ihren Romanen hat, ist, dass sie sich hier in beiden auch ältere Protagonisten ausgesucht hat. Bei Ein Leben mehr sind es Männer, die teilweise schon an die 90 Jahre alt sind. Auch hier die Hauptperson Gladys im neuen Buch Was dir bleibt, ist ebenfalls fast 80 Jahre alt und irgendwann besteigt sie plötzlich einen Zug und ist weg und ist verschwunden. Also da ist natürlich auch die Frage, was macht ältere Charaktere, ältere Personen so interessant für eine Schriftstellerin? Und vor allen Dingen, und das ist das Besondere hier, sie tatsächlich auch real und ernst zu behandeln. Häufig sind ja oder sehr häufig ältere Figuren in Romanen so ein bisschen die schrägen Alten. Hier aber wirklich eine sehr schöne Behandlung dieser Person. Deswegen kann ich jetzt an der Stelle schon mal sehr ans Herz legen, wirklich beide Romane von Jocelyne Saussier, die sehr viel Einblicke in das kanadische Leben geben. Der erste Roman spielt eben in Quebec, der zweite spielt so an der Grenze von Ontario zu Quebec im Norden. Vielleicht auch für Zugliebhaber interessant, aber nicht nur. Also beides tolle Geschichten, die Jocelyne Saussier ausgegraben hat. Und ich hatte, wie gesagt, die Gelegenheit, mit ihr zu telefonieren, ausführlich über beide Bücher zu sprechen, ausführlich darüber zu sprechen, wie sich auch ein bisschen so das deutsche und das kanadische Lesepublikum unterscheiden. Und ja, ich hatte gesagt, das letzte Buch zeitgleich erschienen in Kanada und in Deutschland. Und die Frage ist natürlich, wie sieht das jetzt aus mit der Präsentation? Gibt es da auch Unterschiede der Wahrnehmung in Kanada und in Deutschland? Und geführt habe ich das Gespräch am 1. Oktober. Interessanterweise genau der Zeitraum, wo auch im Jahre 2012 die Handlung von Was dir bleibt angesiedelt ist. Also das Gespräch gibt es jetzt. Es ist geführt in englischer Sprache, obwohl wir beide nicht Native Speaker sind. Also man meint ja immer in Kanada, kann jeder Englisch und kann jeder Französisch, ist ein zweisprachiges Land. Tatsächlich ist es aber so, wenn man nach Quebec kommt, dann stellt man sehr schnell fest, dass man eben in einer frankophonen Region ist und tatsächlich nicht alle Menschen dort auch Englisch sprechen. Umgekehrt natürlich genauso in den englischsprachigen Teilen können, ja, ich will nicht sagen die wenigsten, da können nicht viele Leute wirklich dann auf Französisch sprechen. Also es ist bei weitem nicht so, dass das ganze Land oder jeder einzelne zweisprachig ist in diesem Land. Also, Jocelyne Saussier spricht aber, wie ich finde, ein sehr gutes Englisch, obwohl sie damit ein bisschen kokettiert hat. Ja, gut, ihr Englisch, aber sie ist wirklich sehr gut zu verstehen. Auch ich hoffe, dass ich gut zu verstehen bin mit meinem Englisch. Aber ich glaube, es ist einfach schöner, so ein Gespräch tatsächlich im Original zu hören. Also, jetzt gibt es das Gespräch mit der kanadischen Autorin Jocelyne Saussier zu hören hier in diesem Podcast. Ich wünsche viel Spaß dabei. Es gibt interessante Einblicke, auch über die Entstehung dieser Romane, sehr spannend. Und ich sage an dieser Stelle schon mal bis zur nächsten Folge. Denken Sie dran, diesen Podcast können und sollten Sie abonnieren über zum Beispiel Spotify, Apple iTunes, über die entsprechenden Apps, die es für Smartphones gibt. Dann bekommen Sie immer die neueste Folge direkt auf Ihr Smartphone und können Sie unterwegs anhören, wenn sie verfügbar ist. Also so verpassen Sie da auch keine Folge. Ich sage schon mal vielen Dank fürs Zuhören und jetzt fürs Reinhören und jetzt das tolle Interview mit Jocelyne Saussier. Viel Spaß dabei, viel Spaß beim Anhören. So I'm very pleased to talk to Jocelyne Saucier now. And I say good morning to Canada, to Quebec.
I say good afternoon to you.
We have a time difference about 6 hours. I read that you are living about 700 kilometers north of Montreal or Montreal. And for us Germans, we think, well, that means only wooden cabins, forest and lakes. Am I right with that?
Oh, not really, because, well, we have lots of lakes, forests and rivers. But we have villages and towns, and well, and we have cultural life. We have bookstores. We have cultural festivals, movie festivals, music festivals. There's a cultural life here, and enjoy. We have university and college and all that, and well, that's a different life that you have in Europe. Because we have a lot of space, that's for sure. Because, well, I live, 700 north of Montreal in a region called Abitibi. And I think we're in that region, we are only 1,500 inhabitants in a territory which is half the territory of Germany. That means that we have a lot of a space for each of ourselves. I think we are only 2 inhabitants for square kilometers. And I look in Wikipedia, and I think in Germany you are 200 inhabitants per square kilometer.
Yeah, very impressive numbers.
So we have a lot of space, a lot of lakes. I think we have so many lakes that lots of them don't have a name yet. And we have, I think, one lake for every 7 person. Personally, I think I have 1/2 a bear for me.
Okay. Okay. So do you go swimming in that lake, or are they too cold to swim in?
During the summer we go swimming, but now it's fall. It's all over now. But I live near a lake, so I go swimming every day. During July and August, June
and,
too.
And the next bookshop is not that far away.
Well, I live near a little town of 40,000 inhabitants, and we have, I think, 4 bookshops. So, no, we are okay. We have all what we need. But when we have to go to Montreal, it's a long journey. But we're used to. We're not afraid of the distances.
I myself visited Quebec about 3 years ago, and when I went there, I wanted to read, of course, literature from that region or from Canada. And about 3 years ago, when you walked into a German bookshop and you asked for Canadian literature, well, of course, they said, here's Margaret Atwood. But then there were not that many titles. It's different now. It's different this year because Canada is the guest of honor of the Frankfurt Book Fair. We'll talk about that. On those time, they recommended, well, there's a novel here in the Surkamp publisher. It's called Ein Leben mehr by Jocelyne Saucier. I bought it, that, and I read it in Quebec, when in the German version, of course. This was not your first novel at all, I read, but it was your first novel published in German. And it was first published in Canada in 2011, and 4 years later here in Germany. Do you still remember about that novel, or is it far away for you now? Or do you have to talk a lot about Il pleuvait des oiseaux?
Oh, well, I can talk about Il pleuvait des oiseaux, and I won't pronounce it in German. I just can't. But, when I wrote that book, and when I finished writing that book, I knew that I have done what I that novel needed. But I told me, Jocelyn, what have you done there? A novel about old person in bush. Nobody will read that book. And I remember telling my press agent, you have to work hard to make people read that book. And, well, it seems what I consider a handicap became appealing.
Yes,
and I was first surprised.
In fact, that is really unusual if you have love stories. It's between young people, of course. But you send, older people. They're about, the oldest one's about 90 years old. Three men, one woman, and a younger photographer is coming to them, searching for them. And they went into the woods, like Thoreau or something like that. So you said you were afraid people might not want to read this, but as you said, this was the success. So do you think writers should have more confidence in their characters and the age of their characters?
Yes, because, it's true that we don't see old persons in movies and novels. And when we see old person in movies and novels, there's a mourning regard on old person. Because what we see, the novels and movies are interested in the loss of the old age, mourning, and it's sad. But, my main characters are very old indeed, but they choose freedom, and this choice will enlighten their life in the novel. And it seems to me that old age can be a good part of life, and sometimes the best part of life, because, at old age, where we don't have no more responsibility, nothing to prove to ourselves and to the world, and we can more appreciate life. If old age is not too much threatened by illness, old age can be a good part of life, and it's a privilege to get old, because sometimes there are many persons who die at 20, 40, and without having time to live their own life. So that's not everybody who gets old. And when we are old, we are more free spirit, and we can more appreciate life, and small pleasures become great pleasures, because we know that there's no more years waiting for us, and that life can be we will not live so long. So, and it's a time to approach that, to tame that, to prepare ourselves to live this ultimate moment of the life, accept this moment, say goodbye to ourselves.
But is it also that older people have more to tell from their lives? And I think that's also in your newest novel, you connect those lives with some historical facts about Quebec, about Canada. I think even Canadians would not know. It was in Ein Leben mehr, Il pleuvait des oiseaux, the great fires in the north. And in your newest novel, we'll talk about that later on, it's about the school trains. So I think that's always a thing. You connect with each other.
Yes, because old person, they have all these years behind them and all this thinking. And, you're correct. There's a link between the present and the past. And for example, well, these person have lived something that will never be lived again. And for example, the school trains. That's something astonishing, and that's something that was not known even in Canada, even in Northern Ontario. And it has been forgotten. And this souvenir of school trains enlightened all their life is the main pleasure of their when they were young, and it's still in their life. I met personally persons who made all their scolarity on school trains, and they still have this light in their eyes when they talk about school trains.
So now a lot of people will ask, what are school trains? So we should explain that.
Yes.
I read in your novel that they existed from 1926 to 1967, and these were schools in trains, and even the teachers lived in their trains to reach regions where normally a school was not present. Is that the right definition?
Yes. That for a car, which was a classroom. The car was a classroom, and it was a home for the teachers, and sometimes the teacher had his own family living with him in the school car. So there was a train bringing the school car at the stop where lived the train man who were taking care of the train and the locomotive. And around them were living First Nations people and the fishermen and some person living over there. So the school car there, and during 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, the teachers were teaching to 4 or 7 or 10 kids. They were teaching English and mathematics and all these kind of things. And after 3 or 4 days, a train was getting the car, the school car, and getting it about 15 kilometers further. And afterwards, where he stopped, left the school car, other kids were coming for education. And the school car was doing 4-5 stops during a month on 100 or 200 miles, and coming back one month later to the first stop where the school kids were waiting for him with their work, their class work done in their family. That's how the forest kids got education.
But that's a very interesting concept. How does it come that this was forgotten even in Canada, as you said?
I can imagine why, because at that time it was very well known. They were talking about that in the medias at that time, but nobody remember that. No, it's astonishing.
And how did you recover that story of that school trains?
That's when a gift of life, because I was researching about the big fire of Ontario, and I met a nephew of one of the survivors of the big fire of Madison, and her wife, she was one of the school kids, and she talked to me about that. And what I didn't mind very much about the school train, but afterwards, and I was very impressed by that her story, and I came back to her, but she was dead at that time. But I continue researching for the school train, and I met four former school kids.
It's not a foreword or something like that, but there are in German here that you had a kind of scholarship also traveling to the north. It says it's by the Conseil des Arts et des Lettres du Québec, a driving scholarship. I would translate it back. I only have the German words. And you had the possibility to go to the north of Ontario. What was that kind of scholarship? Was it kind of a research trip? By train?
Yes, it was a search trip. I went to one place to another, and I sometimes I had a room. I rent a room at a place, and I stayed there 1 week, 2 weeks, and change of. So I was wandering during many years in northern Ontario, just looking for. A novel. I don't know what if I would write it or not, but I was looking for something waiting for me, and I had this feeling that there was a novel for me waiting for me there, and I had to write it, and I didn't know what it was like. But once I was on a train, and from Cochrane to Toronto, it's a very slow trip and very long. It's about 9 or 11 hours of train trip. And I saw a woman from my seat. I saw a woman, an old woman. She stood still at her seat, not moving. She had a pile of magazine with her sandwiches in her icebox. And I think she never left her seat, not even to go to the bathroom, and she talked to nobody. Even when on those railroad, in Northern Railroad, well, the passenger train and the freight train, they are on the same rails, and the freight trains have priority. So one during that trip, the freight trains, which was before us, stopped during 2 hours. I don't know if it was a mechanic problem. And during these 2 hours, everybody talks to everybody in the car. It was like a little village, but she talked to nobody. And I saw her, and I asked myself that, why does she is still at her seat? And is she going? Is she running away? Is she threatened by? Is there somebody somewhere threatening her? Where does she go? Does she even know if she's going? So I knew that I would continue questioning myself about that woman, and that woman would be a character, maybe the main character of that novel that I was looking for, that I was researching. And a little later, I read a book about the escape of Tolstoy. When he was a very known writer, he was 82. It was in 1910. And one night in fall, he got away from his home and took a train with no destination in his mind, and all his parents, his friends, tried to get, and he took a train, another train, and many trains, and he was roaming, and all his friends tried to get him back. And that story, well, that, I think Tolstoy and that lady I met in the train, they became just one character, and became, well, Gladys in that new novel.
And she also is an older woman, and well, one day she gets on the train and drives away. And the people, her neighbors, her friends, are also searching for her. So thank you very much for giving that impression, how that novel was created. Very interesting to hear. And still, it's written on the first page in the novel, so I can say that the readers don't know, or we don't know exactly why she really left. There are a lot of explanation in your novel. One which is really a really really great one. So people have to read that novel, of course. But that's interesting that you don't precisely at the end say really what happened and why she left. Is that a concept also to force the readers to think about that?
Yes, I think it's, well, we don't know the motivations, but we can understand what the movement in her soul, which bring her on that wandering trip. We can understand that she had faith in life, and that she get on a train on another train, waiting for something, and she is optimistic, and she has faith in life. She has the strength. That's what impressed me of that Gladys. And I would say the novel is questioning about search of happiness, because in that novel we see Gladys, which is optimistic. She is she searched for happiness, and she is an happy woman. And we see her daughter, who doesn't have no appetite for life. And in that sense, it's really a North American novel, because in North America, well, we should always be happy. We should all be happy. We should all have a smile in our face. I think we should be born with a smile on the face, but we are born yelling and crying. And the search of happiness is something very important. But there are people who don't mind being happy or unhappy. There's something in their soul. They just can be happy, and they live all their lives like that. But their moral slope offend us in our quest for happiness. I think the novel is about tyranny of the quest for happiness.
So you say it's a kind of North American mentality, because Gladys' life wasn't that easy. Her man died. He was a minor. As you said, her daughter has not the easiest life. She, even in younger years, she's about over 50 years now, this daughter, but she tried to commit suicide, and people still fear that she will do it again. So Gladys has not the easiest life, but you say, well, be happy and try to be happy and try to find a happy mm-hmm. life, no matter what happens.
Yes. What interests me in all characters is their strength of life, because in life we have all loss and wounds, but we survive to those wounds or suffering, and we're happy and unhappy sometimes at the same time, in the same moment, and for the same reason. And the strength of life, the strength to survive, it's to be happy in the unhappiness. And Gladys is because she had known happiness in her youth. She just cannot surrender. And she wants to be happy all her life. And that's the problem for her daughter, who cannot be happy. That's the clash between the two of them.
And now... Yes?
Sorry, my English is so poor, I cannot explain what I have all in
my
mind.
Yes, I think I got the idea. And it's really interesting, after reading that novel, to hear your explanations. Thank you very much. And I think people who haven't read should now read the novel, which came out, when I'm right, in Canada now at the same time, in September 2020, than in Germany. Is this right, that it is published in Canada
nearly at the same time in Germany? Yeah, it's about the same time, only 2 weeks. The German came 2 weeks after the Canadian, the French one. Yeah.
But now the situation is a bit different. I think you now would be... 2 weeks in Germany for the book fair, but the book fair does not take place, only a virtual version. So what is the situation for you now at the moment? Are you sad not being able to travel to Germany to the book fair?
The virtual life we have, everybody now on this planet, is something very worrying. We are big in Quebec now. In Quebec, we are beginning a second wave of COVID. And from this today, Thursday 1st of October, we have a breakdown, a lockdown, a new lockdown since midnight today. And, we have the stores are open, the schools are open, but the bars, the restaurants, the theaters, museum are closed, and social gathering is not possible now. And I'm worried about what if we have a third wave, a fourth wave, living apart one from the other so long. What kind of human being are we to become?
So would you normally, and under normal circumstances now, like in Germany, when a book is published, the author goes traveling around, having reading in different towns. Is it the same in Canada? Are readings also popular? Or how do you normally present or promote a book, a new book?
Oh well, we have these talkings with the readers, these meetings with the readers. But readings, public literary readings, as it exists in Germany, it doesn't exist in Quebec in Canada. That's when I went in Germany about a year and a half ago, and that's what impressed me. There's a difference. Readings are very popular in Germany.
So in Canada, it's more meeting and talks with the readers?
Yes, more talks with readers. But readings, well, we have poetry readings, but novel readings, it's not very, we're not used to. But now we don't have that for literature. We don't have literary activities since last spring, since the first wave of COVID, we don't have public literary activities. Everything is done virtually, and but the book is doing well now, because during the first wave in spring, government called for local purchasing. Food, clothing, and books. The sale book went higher during, publishers during the first wave. They they didn't publish new titles, but they begin publishing new titles this summer. And this summer in August, for example, the literature book, they went higher, about 20% higher than the sales went higher, about 20% higher.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the book is the book. Media for the times we live in. the best way to spend the time reading if you can't go to restaurants or to bars.
Yes, well, we're all in our home now, and well, the only thing we can do is watch TV and read, and well, it's not the same for me. I'm not, the lockdown it's only for Montreal and Quebec, the central region of Quebec. Up north, we can always, all is open now.
As you said, there are not many people per square kilometers.
Uh-huh.
So not coming to Germany for the book fair, is this sad for you?
Maybe next year.
Yeah, maybe next year, because the Canada hopefully has the chance to present the rich culture next year in Frankfurt.
So yes, we are hoping for a real life in next year. We hope that we can get out of that nightmare.
You visited Germany, you said, about 2.5 years ago. Besides that, readings are very popular here in Germany and not in Canada. Are there any differences? Are there other questions about your books in Canada than in Germany? Or do you say, well, the readers of your books are worldwide, they're nearly the same?
Oh, there's a difference, yes, between Quebec readers, Canadian readers, German readers, yes. Well, you see, in Quebec we're from French culture and we're North American. So we're Anglo-Saxon cultures too. So from our French culture part, we are interested in writings, in the poetry of the words. And from our Anglo-Saxon culture, we're interested in the story, in the story itself, in the storytelling. But I would say that Sherman are more philosopher readers. They're researching the deep sense, the deep meaning of a text. Yes. And when I went and I met readers, they were interested, for example, in the sense of freedom in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that was more philosophic questions coming from German readers.
Okay, that's very interesting. And Canadian readers look more behind how is it done, how is the structure and
the story. Canadian are more interested. Canadian, the English speaker, Canadian, are more interested in the story itself. And the French speaker, Canadian, the Quebecers, are more interested in the writing aspect of the novel.
I would say so. Yeah. And how is it in Canada, Quebec? They are the French speaking people. Are your novels already translated into English at the same time and published in English, or is it different between the French speaking part of Canada and the English speaking part?
Well, all my books I translated in English, and the last one, Après Perdu, I wouldn't say it in German, but the last one was supposed to be published in September, like the original edition and the German edition. But unfortunately, Rhonda Malunz, my English publisher, is living with COVID since 5 months.
Oh.
And she's still sick, but now she's recovering a little bit and she can work, but That's the horrible thing about that epidemic.
Okay. Yeah, so I hope to see you in person next year in Frankfurt.
Yes, I would like to. The real life. We want a real life.
Yeah.
Not the virtual life.
So hopefully the real life will come back. It will last, I think, a little bit, but then hopefully it will come back, and hopefully it will be back next year in October for the book fair and for the real presentation of the rich cultural life of Canada. So
yes, we hope to.
So thank you very much for having the opportunity to talk to you here on the telephone about your latest novel, and thank you very much for those insights in how those novel were created, how the stories came to life. Thank you very much, Jocelyne Saussier.
Thank you. You have a nice day.
And have a nice day. Thank you.